Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to Information Week's Business Matters. I was kind of waiting for our intro to play. Something seems to have happened with that. Let's see, where is our intro? Because I know you all love that. I'm Kurt Franklin, executive producer of Information Week's radio programs. And, well, since I want you to have the complete experience here, welcome to our intro music. Which seems much quieter than normal. I can tell now I've got to go back and have some fun with that. Well, welcome to the world of live radio. You know, it's interesting. As we put these shows together, all the things that can and do make life interesting, we've got a great discussion today. Our host, George Colombo, sat down with Christy Hedges, who is an entrepreneur, a communication expert, an author, and a leadership coach. They talked about a lot of things, including that point at which leadership and communications come together. I like to think of it as, are you really a leader if no one else knows about it? They had a great conversation, but I want to let you know about something that you're going to hear in the recording. Now, we did this as a pre-record yesterday, and some of you might have noticed that yesterday Skype went away. Now, Skype is the service that we generally use to connect to our virtual studio for our best audio quality. That really wasn't possible yesterday. So you might hear a sound quality that's different than the quality you're used to. If so, sorry about that. But I think the quality of the thought comes through, and that's the most important thing. Now, this is a great interview. I'll be here to wrap things up when it's over, but let's go ahead and get started with George Colombo talking with his guest, Christy Hedges.
Hey, this is George Colombo, and I'm your host for Business Matters on Information Week Radio. This week, we're talking to somebody who, it's an exciting guest for me. This is Christy Hedges. She's an entrepreneur and a columnist for Forbes, and she's the author of The Power of Presence. That's a book that I'm going to come back to in a minute. But before I do, let me tell you that Christy conducts workshops, she does leadership coaching programs that she's developed, and she does it for all sizes and types of organizations, from Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, not-for-profits, and small businesses. Now, I tracked Christy down for Business Matters when I came across an article that she wrote for Forbes. It was called Confessions of a Former Public Speaking Trainer, Don't Waste Your Money. That, to me, was kind of an intriguing title. And as I looked through the article, she had great suggestions for anybody who's not looking to become a public speaker, but somebody who needs to make their business presentations more effective. So we're going to touch on all of those points today, and as you'll see, they all converge, according to Christy, in one thing that she calls presence. That's what her book, The Power of Presence, is all about, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, Christy, I'm delighted that you have some time to spend with us today.
Thanks so much, George, and thank you for a lovely welcome and opening. I appreciate it.
Oh, you are quite welcome. It's unnerving a little bit to do that in front of somebody who's a communications expert, but I'm gonna soldier on here. We're going to talk about something, as I said, you call it presence, and basically it's your conceptual framework for effective business communications. So I want to get to the specifics, but before we do that, can you talk to me a little bit about why this is important for somebody in the IT industry, and tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
Sure. So, and by the way, you did a great job communicating in the opening. I'll tell you that. It is a little bit of pressure. So my background is, I've been in the intersection of leadership and communications my entire career, and that showed up in a couple different ways. I started very early in my career in politics, helping political officials get elected and working on their campaign communications. Then I went into the corporate world and got into actually technology marketing and started a technology communications firm, a PR and marketing firm, and grew that in the late 90s for about a decade. And then I sold that and then became a leadership coach. And I work with companies in all different kinds of sectors. But definitely the thread that's gone through all of those has been around this idea about how do we show up and communicate in a way that inspires and engages other people, no matter who those audiences are. So for someone who's in a technology field, for example, I mean, you are out there having to, engage people around some really technical information. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. Sometimes people wish that you would go away. But what you're communicating is critical to the business. And so being able to present your ideas in a way that really shows people how important they are, that captures their attention, that has a stickiness factor to them, and also that allows you to really get your points across really clearly and efficiently and effectively, they're all really critical. And so what that comes back to is your presence, which is really how you show up.
Well, now, in your article, in the Forbes article, you kind of summed it up with something that I thought was really kind of, almost revelatory. It was a big aha moment for me when you said to your audience, to your readers, you said, you already know how to do this. And that was, the proverbial light bulb. What do you mean when you say that? And what do our listeners know that they don't realize that they know?
Yeah, that notion came from really my coaching work. And what I found was I would work with these executives, very successful people, and they were still working through some issue around their own communication, their own presence, how they showed up in certain situations. And generally, these are stress-filled situations where the stakes are high or we're off our balance a little bit for one reason or another. And they wanted to be more effective in those situations. But what I found was that we learn so many things along our careers around presentation, around presenting skills. Many of us go through programs sponsored by our companies, or perhaps we go outside, that teach that there's this kind of right way to present, and as if we're either going to do it right or we're going to do it wrong. In reality, if you look at who's a compelling presenter, who communicates in a way that inspires us, there's a wide range of how they do it. And one of the commonalities out of that is that they're authentic. They have their own way of really being who they really are when they're in front of us. We trust what they have to say. They're credible. Sometimes they make us laugh. But we feel like we're talking to a real person. So we already know how to do that. We already know how to be a real person. We communicate like real people in all aspects of our lives, when we're talking to our friends, when we're relaxed at work, when our colleagues come in and sit down beside our desk. We don't have to think about it. We just know how to do it. And so, remembering that we have the skills, we just have to transfer those same skills into a different situation is a different way of thinking than you need to, follow these 20 points or you're not going to be successful.
That's such a great way to look at it. Now, I want to. You talk about this larger topic of presence. I've heard you define it as the ability to connect with others and to inspire others. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? What does that look like when you see it? And what makes the connection?
Well, that's a tough question. It's a great question. How do you know it when you see it? And some ways we feel it, right? It's a palpable kind of feeling that we have our reaction to someone else's presence. But it definitely doesn't look one way. If you think about what I generally will try to tell people, think about is who inspired you. And people will say, oh, well, it was somebody who was a great listener. It was somebody who seemed confident in their ideas. It was someone who seemed like they took a real interest in me. There's a lot of commonalities around that. So when we consider what inspired us, It's the same thing that we do that inspires other people. So it's much, there's a broad set of skills. It's much, it's more personalized than we might at first think that it might be. So, you know, instead of what I would call sort of, you know, this myth that we have about presence, which is that it's kind of what I'll call big presence, big P presence, that you have to go in, you have to own the room and be super charismatic. When we really think of our own lives about who inspired us, you know, there's a lot of different ways people inspire us, but more often they're personalized, it's an individual connection, we trust them, and we feel like they're invested in us. And that is much more inspirational to us, has more presence than someone who can just give a great speech.
Well, and it goes back, I think, to what you said a moment ago about authenticity, that's kind of the baseline criteria in terms of being able to connect with people. If they don't perceive you to be authentic, it doesn't make a difference.
Exactly. We have this interesting presidential election shaping up right now. Here in the U.S., and we're, you know, in the primaries, and we have the GOP debates, which have been going on, and after all, you know, after each one of them, there'll be a sort of a flurry of news, and the new front runner will come up. And if you notice that, you know, whenever we get a new person that everybody's sort of attached to that we think is ahead, almost always, and maybe I could even go so far to say always, it's around the fact that they show up in an authentic way that we connect with. So it's not about somebody gets all of their points out perfectly. It's about we feel like they're a real person saying something that they actually believe in that we can connect with.
And in that sense, the polish might work actually against somebody. It can be perceived to be less authentic.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, in working with my clients, I'll find that they're so worried about getting the right polish. And by right, I mean it's whatever they've been told is the right polish, and it's different for each person that I might meet. But they're so worried about getting that they don't kind of take a step back and think about the fact that the polish is not what wins. What wins is that, again, we feel like they're a real person. And we see this all the time in political campaigns where someone's overly polished and they answer questions that are really sort of vague talking points. And they never mess up, and we don't really feel like we know who they are.
Right, we didn't learn anything. And this is kind of what you sometimes refer to as an inside-out approach to presence, am I getting that right?
Yeah, and what I mean by that is when we first think about presence in a generic way, let's say, if we say, you know, George, you need more presence, whatever pops into your head that means, It's about externalities. The first thing that pops in our head is, oh, someone with presence has these things, right? They have command of a room, or they might dress a certain way, or they might be tall, or they might use their hand gestures in a certain way, or they might their voice might carry, or they might speak with perfect talking points, or whatever the case is, right? They're externalities, and so we might start there. And the problem with that is, we can see you in there. Like no matter what externalities you throw on, we can sort of, we're so good at this, we're experts at understanding someone else's presence very quickly, that we kind of suss out what we think is real and what's not, and then we make our own decisions based on that. Where we really need to be looking at the other way, which is an inside-out view of presence, which is actually much easier and far more sustainable anyway, which is the good news, which is really starting with understanding in a core way, how do we want to show up? What values do we want to be conveying? What energy do we want to be putting into the room? And understanding what that is so then we can bring that and then letting our presence fall from that. So instead of, you know, trying to, you know, just give a crude example, instead of me thinking, I want to get this group excited, so I'm going to go in and make, you know, really big hand gestures and I'm going to speak really loudly, instead thinking, what am I excited about here? What do I feel passionate about in this message? And letting that carry my style versus trying to have a style carry the emotion that I'm trying to convey, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, and it's a great segue into the next thing that I wanted to ask you about. You use the word intentionality. So a couple of things here. I'm hoping you would define that for our listeners and tell us a little bit about how focusing on intentionality impacts your communications. But here's the thing that I really wanted to ask about that, and that is, you know, and you alluded to this before. You said when you work with your clients, it's often in a high stakes situation. And I think all of us feel to a certain extent when we're doing a presentation, you know, often it at least feels like a high stakes situation. Mm-hmm. And there's that old quote, you know, when you're up to your elbows in alligators, it's hard to remember that your objective was to drain the swamp. So my question is, you know, as you stand up and get ready to get started, going back to this thing of intentionality, how do you remember that? How do you bring yourself back to that place of intentionality in that high-stakes environment?
So first of all, I love the alligator quote. I have to use that again with full attribution to you.
Okay.
It's very funny and very apt. Okay, so with intention, it's really about understanding the power of it, the importance of it, and then just getting into a regular practice of it. Being intentional actually is pretty easy, and I don't say a lot of things are easy that I don't think they are, but this one is pretty easy. And it has, you know, I always tell people 80% of presence is intention. And I really believe that. It's because that's the part that we generally skip. We kind of go to the execution, we go to the externalities, and we don't start and spend enough time in that place of, again, how do I want to show up? So when I think about intention, I think of it really about mental clarity between how we want to show up, and then, you know, being in alignment with that, you know, thinking about what would create alignment with how I want to show up and how I actually do show up. So that sounds kind of vague, so let me give you a concrete example. So if I coach a client, and they, you know, want to present in a certain way, and as you said, you know, it's you know, presenting takes a lot of different forms. Sometimes it's getting up in front of a group of 1,000 people. Sometimes it's being across a table from someone who is really important to your business. So, you know, whatever it looks like, if it's one person, it's 1,000, it's the same type of skill. So before you're in that situation, knowing, you know, how do I need to show up as the communicator, you know, as the person who's conveying this message, you know, and what do I want people to walk away from this thinking and feeling? And feeling is a really important term here because we experience other people in emotional terms. So we get a feeling about them. We might leave thinking I'm excited or I'm worried or I'm nervous or I'm uncertain or whatever. That's how we take people in emotionally, and then we jump to logic after that. So knowing what that energy is, with a feeling that we want people to walk away with, that's the intentionality piece. And so if I'm working with a leader, that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to say, you know, before, let's not start with what you want to say. Let's start with how do you want them to feel? And then how do you need to show up to convey that feeling? And just having that pause to be able to really visualize and understand what that is, that really can change your outcome considerably. Because you realize very quickly that if I want people to get excited, ooh, well then I need to be excited, and I need to create excitement in what I'm talking about, and maybe I need to, you know, make them, you know, think differently about this or you know, approach it in a different way. And I use a variety of tools in my work that help people to be able to, you know, get there in a very logical fashion. But it's that piece up front that's the real power, just taking that moment of pause.
Sure. What's your best tip there to remember intentionality in a high pressure situation? What's your single best tip for that?
Well, I have two, so that's kind of I'm cheating a little bit. But the first one is before you ever even get into those situations, really knowing very clearly what your personal brand is. I call it a personal presence brand. I mean, knowing, you know, what values do you want to be conveying all the time. And that's a, you know, you can go through that exercise pretty simply, but it does take some time of understanding what that is and having that be something you can hold ahead of time. But the other piece of that is what I'll call situational intention, and that's just that in the moment calibration. And if you have any sort of exchange, just give yourself 2 minutes before you go into it, and just have that, you know, that conversation with yourself. How do I want people to feel, and how do I need to show up as the messenger? If you can answer those two questions, then you're going to be more powerful in terms of how you present, no question, because those two unlock really that feeling of that emotion that you need to convey, that you need to get behind. And you can do that, by the way, when you're driving there. You can do it when you, you know, are at your desk thinking before you go in. Some people meditate on that intention just to give themselves a couple minutes to get it into their mind's eye. But knowing your brand and then being able to line that up with a situational intention, that's how I found to be most effective.
Well, that sounds like good stuff. Let me go to another point that you make about presence. And I'm curious to hear your description here. You talk about making an individual connection with the audience. Now, when you say individual connection, clearly you can't make a one-on-one connection with everybody in your audience. Or am I reading what you're saying incorrectly? Or what do we mean by that?
Well, so no, you can't. I mean, it depends on the audience, right? Sometimes you can if it's five people. If mm-hmm. it's a large crowd, then it's a bit harder. What I mean by that is, you know, that people, they gravitate towards us as individuals. And so as much as possible, what we want to do is to be able to create trust, to present ourselves as individuals. And so that can look like being able to share stories about that are honest and sincere, and things about ourselves that we might not normally include in a business presentation. And you know, we see speakers do this to great effect when they look at, you know, for example, look at a TED Talk. There's often a lot of personal stories contextualized in the business framework that they're trying to communicate, but it really brings gravity. So we feel like we leave that, you know, that talk or that video thinking, wow, I feel like I know this person. And so that's part of it. You know, being able to really mix what I call power and vulnerability. So the power piece being very credible. So we have, you know, we show up in a credible way. We have our you know, points that we want to convey. We have a good intention for what we want to say. But also that other piece, that vulnerability piece, which is the humanity piece, not feel like we have to be sort of, you know, perfect in our presentation or, you know, have a robotic display of, you know, presentation skills, but to be real and to, you know, be able to, you know, not feel like we have to have every answer, to be open to the questions that are there, to be able to say, I don't know, if that's the case. Those are all important, too. And so that mix really is part of what helps us really trust the person in front of us and feel like we have an individual connection with them.
You know, it's so interesting you say that, because speaking for myself personally, there are very few things that somebody can say to me that will connect me to them quite as much as when they say, you know, I don't know. It's a bit of honesty that so many people are reluctant to extend, and yet when we do extend that, it really works.
Yeah, it's really amazing how it works. And again, we have talked ourselves out of that kind of thing. And I wrote an article recently about different ways to say I don't know, and that was really inspired by a client of mine who was an engineer by training and is an executive and is running a division and gets asked questions that he doesn't know the answer to. And the CEO will come and say, hey, what's going on with this? And he can't possibly know the answer because he's not working as an engineer anymore. He's working as an executive.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to let that go of not feeling like you have to have the answer to everything, but being able to say, I don't know, in a way that he felt confident about really inspired that, because I think that's a common problem. We feel like we have to have an answer for everything, when exactly what you said, it's you know, that vulnerability piece, being able to say, I don't know, is what makes us trust somebody.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, I want to go back to something you said a little while ago that I think, you know, when you think about it, it's obvious, but we don't talk about presenting in this way. You made the point that there is way more than one way to present, and the good presenters have all kinds of different styles. So my question is, for our listeners, if you're not comfortable with presenting, are there any guidelines for finding a style that's going to work for you?
Yeah, and you know, most of us aren't really comfortable with presenting, let's be honest. For most people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I present as part of my living. I go and do keynotes, and it always takes a lot of energy for me, you know, to think about, you know, how I'm going to present myself and do I want to be in alignment. And it's, you know, you said it's tough to give an intro for someone who looks at presence for a living. It's also tough to speak for somebody who's about presence. So, you know, the bar is pretty high. And, you know, and I think that's just so true for all of us. It's a tough thing to do, to put ourselves out there. You know, what I think helps people to get their head around it is to think about presenting in a way that you feel most comfortable with. And, you know, and I'll give you an example of this. So, you know, I have a client who is very creative and has to give pretty technical presentations as part of his job. And so what we talk about is, how can you bring your creativity to the way you present? So don't feel like you have to fit into the culture of the content. Make the content fit the culture of you. And so, you know, what he did is he, you know, has, he'll start off with really kind of like a fun game or a video or a technology that's really neat, or he'll, you know, have a story that's, you know, that he's really excited about, so that he really doesn't feel like the form, again, has to fit the content, but he can really bring his own self into it. And I find for a lot of clients, the beginning of a presentation is the hardest part. So thinking about, what am I most comfortable with? If it's discussion, like, I, you know, some people say, you know, what I have a hard time with is feeling I have to memorize everything perfectly. So, okay, start off with a discussion and have that be how you work your way into the talk. You know, there isn't one way to do it. Some people love PowerPoint. Some people hate it. Don't feel like you have to have a PowerPoint just because other people do it, right? If that doesn't work for you, do something different. You know, realizing that you're not beholden to any one way can sometimes be very freeing for people, because they just don't really think about it that way.
Okay, Marilyn, this is this.
Well, we seem to have lost the tail end of the audio. It's a shame, because there were some interesting things right there at the end. But we're also coming up at the tail end of our half hour here. So this has been one of those most fascinating episodes because of the technology challenges. It's a great episode for a lot of reasons, though. The parts of the conversation we brought to everyone, I thought, were very good, talking about a lot of critical issues in communication, in being present, and in what that means to leadership. That is a whole wonderful set of issues that I am sure we're going to be looking at in the future in Information Week's Business Matters. Now, something that I want to point out, in previous episodes, we've referred to this as InterOps Business Matters, and we've changed that for a number of reasons, but one of the big ones is that Business Matters really resonates with the Information Week conference that will be happening in the spring. So we want to take this material, take these topics, and make them accessible to all of the business leaders who will be taking part in the Information Week conference this spring. There will be a lot more information on that coming up in this and other Information Week radio programs. We want to thank Christy Hedges. We want, as always, to thank our great host of Business Matters, George Colombo. He and I have talked about the stories and the guests that he has coming up. I think you're going to be really, really excited about those. And so we want to remind everyone that if you're listening to this on a streaming copy, that you want to remember that we have this live every fourth Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. There's a great conversation that happens around the audio. If you enjoy the radio, I'll also recommend that you check with us on Fridays when Information Week Live comes your way every Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a wrap-up of the top stories at Information Week for that week. We'll certainly be there this Friday. Well, for George Colombo and everyone here at Information Week's Business Matters, I'm Kurt Franklin saying thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you next time.